Amen. We're going to get some more from the Johnsons in just a minute. I like kind of singing like that. Amen. How many of y'all love the Lord? Amen. We've got an unusual message for you today. And I say unusual because there are only five verses that talk about this. And it's not repeated anywhere else in the Scripture. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 20. As you probably have discovered, I'm reading the screen if you were paying attention. Acts chapter 20 is where we find our verse for today. And I want to share this message from the standpoint of how does the church respond when you have situations where people are in a tragedy or they're facing some type of challenge. How does the church respond? How should we respond? We'll be talking about that a little bit today as we look at the verses. If you've lost, stand, just if you can, if you're able to stand, stand with us as we read the scripture. Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. Long-winded preacher. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where they were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus. Let me introduce Eutychus. Took me a long time to get that name right. Some pronounce it Eutychus. I am from Scottsburg, Virginia, and we say Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. Don't y'all ever complain about me being long-winded. All right. Verse 12. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Thus ends the reading of God's word. I want to share with you a subject today. When somebody falls, you may be seated. I started to give this a subtopic, don't go to sleep in church. But after praying and after being led by the Holy Spirit, I think that the topic really causes us to search ourselves and ask ourselves, how would we respond? How would we look at this situation? How would we go about trying to at least minister to this person that is in need when somebody falls? And it shouldn't be a surprise to any of us that we are living in a fallen world where we have falling people. We're living in a fallen world where we have fallen people. So how do we respond to that? How do we go about trying to do our part as the body of Christ? Does that make sense? That's a good question. That's a good question. All around us, we are looking at suffering. Now, when I looked at this verse, there were two things, two challenges that really came to mind. And I think with the interpretation of these verses, when, you know, here's Eutychus, this guy, this young guy, just, you know, decides he wants to sit in the window, falls out, and dies. But Paul runs down, he rushes down and picks him up and grabs him, hugs him, and he said he's alive. You can get two interpretations from that. One interpretation is, well, let's just talk about the miracle. Let's just say, here he was and he came back to life, praise God, things happened. That would have been a great way of bringing out this passage. Certainly it would have really have shown the power of God. But if you choose that approach to it, you miss the warning. There were some warning signs in this. There were some things that should have happened even before we got into the window. Some things that probably could have been addressed, but were not addressed until it was too late. Now you got somebody laying there from the third floor, fell down, and you know, I'm gonna tell you something. You get older, you're a fall risk. You know, I went to the doctor the other day, and one of the things that they asked me, have you fallen recently? And what did I say? I said, it all depends on what you call a fall. But they want to know, because you're in a place where you could injure yourself, or even worse, it could cost you your life. It could cost you your life. We have to look at this because it's a very serious matter. And the other thing that can happen is you can get to the place where you, what they call sensationalizing Scripture. Just kind of going in and just picking it apart and what does the name Eutychus mean and all of these things. That's kind of adding to it what maybe doesn't really need to be added to it. But then I got to praying and the Holy Spirit got to speaking. There are some things in this verse I think every one of us can learn some very valuable lessons of what to do when people fall. By the way, I want to ask a question. How many of y'all have had CPR training? Raise your hands real high. CPR. You know how to administer CPR. Don't ask me what it means. All I know is CPR, respiratory something. But you took that training because of the fact that if somebody gets into a cardiac emergency, you would know and be equipped to help that person until other medical help can come. Am I right? Am I close to it? That's pretty good, isn't it? I want to applaud you for taking CPR. Because I don't know, and other people in this room, they don't know when something like that would happen. And all of a sudden, you know, and at that time, don't get me wrong now. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting anybody down. But I don't need a bunch of people running around, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I love praising the Lord, but it ain't time for that now. I'm on the floor and I'm going through some type of emergency. I need you to do something to help me get back up. I hope y'all don't take that the wrong way. People watching online, don't take it the wrong way. I'm all for praising the Lord, but when I'm down, I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to come there to my rescue. So I wrote down a couple of things that I believe is very critical to the church. You have to look at what is the church's mission, especially when we're responding into this world that we're living in and we're responding to the challenges that people are facing. What is the mission of the church? A couple of things that come right to mind. I know some of y'all would say prayer. Yeah, we got to seek God's help, right? Because there's nothing we can do without Him. Another would say, well, let's find out what the person needs. That makes sense. I don't want you trying to bandage up my arm if I hurt my foot. Now, true, you could be doing something, but you're not doing the appropriate thing to help me get back up. So you understand that the needs of the church would be that we pray and ask for God's guidance, but then we respond in a way that we are addressing the need. I have a saying, and I believe that saying will always be true. You don't kill a fly with a hammer. Write that down. That's very important. Put it on your refrigerator. You do not kill a fly with a hammer. You can kill the fly with it. That's not the point. But you're going to tear up a whole bunch of stuff trying to get to that one fly. There you go, baby. Man. Yeah. Sometimes the church will take the hammer approach to solving problems. Boom. done, but look at the fallout. Look at the problems now that have been created. So the couple of things I wrote down about this response options. First option is to ignore it. Why would that be an option? Why would that be an option? Eutychus fell down from that third floor, all the way down to the ground. Boom. Ignore it. Well, first of all, it ain't none of my business anyway. I don't want to be involved in somebody else's business. Sometimes church does that. I just don't want to be involved. I'm trying to maintain my own. What do you do? I'm hanging in there. I'm maintaining my own. Man, y'all got mighty quiet up in here. And I was minding my own business. The Lord said, look at this passage here. Look at this scripture. Look at what it says. It says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. That is, they were sharing communion. They did it in a little bit different manner and fashion which we do. We just take a little wafer and a cup of juice. They had a meal. They celebrated. They celebrated. Paul is in town. He's the man. He's our apostle. He's our leader of the church. And we're going to have a celebration. We're going to get together and have a meal. And then Paul got so inspired that he had some things to tell them. He got to preaching. Let me tell you more about Jesus. Do you think he had an interesting topic? Yeah. Do you think it was deep? Oh, yeah, man, Paul, he's the apostle. God's going to show him stuff that we need to build our churches and to frame our faith on, because he's been inspired and anointed by God to preach with power. And man, he would go into that sermon, and I can imagine that if I kept you all here to 12:45, you know, here go the Baptist folk. They put that one finger up in the air. Here they go. I got to go. Don't know where I'm going, but I'm getting out of here. Long-winded preacher. He kept preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and teaching and sharing with them the faith he was going to leave tomorrow. And he probably, from what we know now in history, he didn't come back to them anymore. His first imprisonment, of course, he was released, but he didn't go back that same way. He went on other missionary journeys. But that's not the point of what we're here for today. The fact is, this guy, Eutychus, decided he was going to not sit in the pew, not sit on the floor, not lean against the wall, but sit in the window. Somebody need to teach that boy. You don't sit in a window. I'll get back to that in just a second. So the first option is ignore it. None of my business. I'm just trying to do my own thing here, and I'm just trying to survive myself. I can't help others because I'm just trying to deal with them. Anybody in that? No, don't raise your hand. You can incriminate yourself. You know, we live in a very selfish society, right? Where it's very easy for people to say, it's not my problem. Just not my problem. Let somebody else handle. Somebody else come along. I noticed I was driving yesterday on the interstate, had an accident, and you got hundreds of people that'll slow down, look, great day. And then what do? They get back on the road and keep driving. Not my problem. Second thing that can happen is get rid of it. Just get rid of it. We don't need these Eutychus people around the church teaching others to sit in windows. They rub off on some of our youth, right? He's a young man, and let me break this down to you. We don't need drug addicts, drunks, hanging out in our church. They'll embolden some of us to do that. Don't need that kind in here. We don't need people that all they know how to do is swear and talk and drink and carry on. We don't need those kind of people in here. Look at somebody, tell them, pump your brakes. Remember when that person was you. Remember when you didn't have it all together. When you came into the church. When you decided that you were going to make Jesus your choice, but you were still saying a few choice words. Hello. But God had mercy on you. But God decided that he would pick you up and turn you around. I'm so glad that the folks that helped me find faith didn't have the attitude, get rid of them. They're going to take time with me. I'm going to say this, then I'm going to say about myself. Once was a time that I played terrible golf. Terrible. Still play terrible golf. Reverend Givens and Creed Rucker decided, don't worry about it. Just calm down. You'll get it. And they had this thing called double pars. It's when you get double of what you're supposed to get, just move on to the next hole because you ain't going to get it. But I finally got the swing of it. I finally got to the place where I could do a little bit with the game. And now I ask them what's happening. But the point is, they had mercy on me. Could have just kicked me out. Or you could take the approach, third one, help if you can. And I qualify that, help if you can, because what I've discovered is that some people don't want help. They want you to just support that they've fallen. Do you ever met people like that? Maybe they're unemployed and can't find a job. You say, hey, I know where a good job you can find. Part-time, it'll work. I don't like that kind of job. Wait a minute. I thought you were unemployed. You know, until you can do better, you get what you can. I'm from the country, right? Any country folk in there? All right, so you got these three approaches. You got these three attitudes. You got this type of mind. Now, my question is not what you would do, but what do you think Jesus would do? How would he handle that? Every time Jesus would see a blind eye, he'd open it. He'd see someone that was lame. You know what he'd do? He'd go over and he would help them. Somebody said there were a lot of other people in the world that Jesus did not heal. But I tell you what, everyone that he walked across and that was broken, he did heal. And I'm so glad he healed me. I'm so glad he touched me one day. So let's find out what we're going to do with Judas. Everybody say, what are we going to do? Now, did I say Judas? Yes. Eutychus. Judas be another day. Just testing you all. What was the first indication of a fall risk? Number one, setting in a dangerous place. Everybody say dangerous place. Dangerous. People put themselves in dangerous places. They do that by compromising their own safety, believing that something is cool. You ask me, why did I drive fast when I was a young person and knew it was dangerous? Because it was cool. Not knowing that I had a mama on her knees. Lord, help that crazy boy. Praying that I'd make it back home. People put themselves in dangerous places for different reasons. Another dangerous place is when you're hanging around with friends that don't have their mind on doing right. All of us know them. All of us have been around them. And you got probably relatives, loved ones that have said to you, you need to stop hanging around those folks. Yes. Yes. Well, then, my friend, pick you some different ones. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. Did anybody ever notice in this passage that Eutychus was a young man? Notice it says, young man. I want to applaud him on one thing. At least he was in the church. I said, at least he was in the church. He was in a place where he was trying to learn. He hadn't really understood the dangers of sitting in a window. And it could have been perhaps what he was saying to himself, I like what's going on in the church, but I want to hear what's going on out on the street. He could hear the partying. How? In the window. He could hear people, you know, back in, now we were in the country, and only our neighbor was our echo, so that tells you, you know, anytime you got a zip code all your own, I'm just exaggerating. I like to be a little human. Yeah, by the way, I told y'all I got that from my grandpa, right? Yeah, so you know. But the point that I am making is that the attraction of the world will cause you to want to straddle a little bit. You got one foot in the church, you got another one in the world, and you're hoping that nobody comes and pushes you over. Y'all still here? Remember, our subtitle is Don't Go to Sleep in Church. So here's Eutychus sitting up in the window thinking it's not going to be a problem. He's probably saying to himself, Paul's going to finish up in a minute. He's going to wind this sermon down, and I'm going to be all right. Another thing that we hadn't thought about, they probably didn't have any air conditioning in that window. Bigger being, it was in the first century. No air conditioning on the third floor. And some of y'all already, we got air conditioning there. What y'all doing? Fan. Give me a fan. He was in a dangerous place. What should the church do when people get into a dangerous place? Let me give you one little illustration, then we're going to move on to the next point. Did anybody in that group ever notice that here was somebody in a perilous position? I like that. Did anybody just kind of glance from Paul up to Eutychus and say, you know what, he's in a bad place. What do we need to do? Here's a suggestion. Why didn't somebody just go over and say, hey, Eutychus, Paul preaching a little while longer than what we thought. Come sit with me. I might go to sleep. So I want you to nudge me in case I... You don't have to shame the person. You don't have to get to the place where now you're just saying, you know what, I'm going to make you look bad. No, just come down, sit with me. Story told about this hippie, back in the hippie day. He came to church and waltzed right in, and instead of him sitting in the place in the back, came all the way down to the front, didn't sit on the pew, decided he was going to sit on the floor. So here's this hippie sitting on the floor. Everybody going, oh, and this is one of those high churches where everybody is quiet. You don't even say amen because that would disrupt the church. You ever been in any churches like that? I know, get on your nerves, don't it? When you start saying amen, people look around at you like, what's wrong? What happened? Hippie came in and he sat on the floor. So they went to the head deacon. What are you going to do about this? He's up there sitting on the floor in front of everybody. He's not dressed right. He doesn't look right. What are you going to do about it? So the deacon said, I got it. Went down to the front. How you doing, young man? And sat down beside him. So that could have happened with Eutychus. Somebody could have and should have gone to him and said, hey, Eutychus, you're in a bad place. But it didn't happen. So next thing you know, he's in a weak position. If you know, and I notice what happens to people when they start going to sleep, and I can see everybody. And I've already told y'all, you know, if you go to sleep in church, I'm going to preach till you wake up. But you know, when you're trying to stay awake and all of a sudden your eyes glaze over and that head goes down and you do that little, That probably happened a couple of times with Eutychus, and he didn't get the signal. Because some people don't know when they're weak. Some people don't know. This is like when some people drink. They know, if I keep drinking, I'm going to get drunk. But instead of them saying to themselves, that's enough. That's enough. One more. One more has killed many people. One more. He sat there knowing he was in a condition. Now this brings the responsibility full circle to himself. Eutychus, why are you sleeping in a window? Why do we put ourselves into a place where we know something is going to happen and it ain't going to be good? Seniors, let me talk to you just a minute. You know you're getting older. And you're telling yourself, I'm not going to see the doctor this time. I'm just going to take care of myself. So you go get your little home remedies and you get your little stuff out and you say to yourself, well, what are you doing for? I got it. And the condition gets worse. Touch somebody and tell them, quit playing. My point is, if we look at Eutychus, we have to take a good look at ourselves and ask ourselves, what is our approach to life? Are we going to just treat other people as if they don't exist or their need is not there? And the answer would be, no, we can't do that. We're the church of the living God. We ourselves have weaknesses. We ourselves go through issues and needs in our life. And so we've got to be into a responsible, which means we're able to respond as best we can. Not perfect. Got a long way to go. But at least we're trying to do what we can to help those that have fallen. Does that sound pretty good? Now, let me just bring this message to a close. I want to hear some more from the Johnsons. I want to hear from them. But let's look at recovery process. Paul went down. He did a couple of things. Paul stopped preaching. He said, let me just put this on pause a little bit. And I'm going to tell you something. If you all have ever been under the anointing of God and you're into a sermon and you're preaching, you don't want to stop. But here's another thing. Here's another need that God has opened up for him. So, okay, Paul, let's stop what we're doing here because you're needed on the ground floor. Now, I don't want to bring this out, but some stores you go to, and they got this little thing over here where you can press if you need assistance. How many of y'all ever been there? I'm not going to mention the name of the store, but you press, and it will say assistance needed on the plumbing aisle. Have y'all ever been there? And nobody shows up. You wait, and you wait, and you wait, and then you press it again. Assistance needed. I say, man, I can hear that. But nobody comes. The world is pressing a button and asking the world, asking the church, do you see me? Do you hear me? I need help. I need help. I need somebody to come and help me. I've fallen and I can't get up. I need help. Eutychus, that fall could have been prevented. But let's just say it happened. It happened. That's all right. Now let's look at God's recovery process. Whole lot of folk would read this verse and probably say to themselves, it's his own fault. The old fool shouldn't have been up in that window anyway. A lot of people would say to themselves, man, he got what he deserved. God did not treat it that way. Look at this. The leader of the church ran down, grabbed the boy, began to hug him, and said, he's alive. If God didn't love Eutychus, he certainly loved him then. Man, my wife said, you need to do something dramatic. I'm already dramatic. Now, you and I, we don't know whether we got the power or the ability to help somebody get back up. But I tell you what you can do. I tell you what you can do. If I'm on the ground and I'm shivering or I'm hurting, at least cover me up. Don't let other folk walk by and step on top of it. At least guard me so nobody will step on me while I'm down. Because you know what? By the power of God, I'm going to get back up. I'll rise again. Because when you got God on your side, He's able. I said He's able to bring you out of darkness into His marvelous light. At least cover me up so I don't get cold, because sooner or later a Paul is coming by and he's going to help me get back up. Anybody that been helped to get back up? The world knocked you down, but God will pick you up. The world will tell you you're no good, and they'll read your history of what you did, but they don't know what God is able to do once you get back up. They don't know that the Lord can pick you up. He can turn you around. He can place your feet on solid ground. Anybody know that He's a quicker picker-upper? Touch somebody. Tell him He's able. He's able to bring me through. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get back up. By the grace of God, I'm going to get back up. Might take me a little time. I might have to figure things out, but I'm going to get back up, because He didn't bring me this far to leave me now. Well, I'm preaching to somebody. The world has knocked you down, but thank God it didn't knock you out. You're still in the race. All you got to do is trust God and know that He's able. Well, I feel like preaching now. Let me help him wrap this thing up. Now, last thing I want to close with is the church has got to stop being untouchables. Don't touch me. You've been nasty yourself. Yeah, you're clean right now. I get it. You're clean right now. But you've been nasty. Paul runs down, grabs the boy. One of the commentators said that he probably was thinking about, and the Spirit was leading him in the same way that Elijah was led to raise the Shunammite's son when he had died. The prophet Elijah went in and just stretched himself and then embraced him. Don't be afraid to hug people and tell them you love them. It might be your last opportunity. Tell somebody you care about them. If we can't do anything else, just hug somebody. Now, stop telling you, hug somebody and tripping. Love somebody. You better stay over there in your corner. The recovery depends on you and I. And it depends on the fact of whether or not we are willing to embrace people that the world has otherwise said, you're just out of it. Go to them. Do what you can. Share with them the love of Christ. And I believe that God's going to be with you. Can we do that? All right, very quickly, going to close with three things. Number one, go down. What do I mean by go down? Usually when we're in the church attitude, we're way up here. All right, but you got to go down. Go down to street level. You're not going to do what they're doing. You're not going to participate in it. But you're going to remember where the Lord has brought you from. And you're going to walk in a way that you show compassion. You're going to show concern for people. You're responsible. Second thing is, he threw himself on to the young person. I don't think Paul just saying go throw yourself on. No, I don't think that's the attitude, but you make yourself available. One of the most precious gifts you have to share with people is not your money, not your investments, not even your strength, your time. That's the most precious thing you've got. And when you take time out of your day and you look me straight in the eye and say, I care about you, that's going to make me feel some kind of way. I'm going to feel pretty good about myself. I'm going to walk. You know what? They said they cared about me. I'm not going to be down on myself. I'm going to walk a little bit straighter now. And the last thing is, put your arms around people. And by that, I simply mean, help them if you can. That kind word. Maybe send them a text message every now and then. Hey, thinking about you. Hope you're having a good day. God bless you. Is that hard to do? No. It just takes this precious thing called time. Time. I close by telling you, you would think that Paul would have gone back up into the third floor and say, okay, that's all we're going to teach for today. Read your text. It said he went back up to the third floor and preached till daylight. So I tell you what, if you go to sleep in church, I'm going to preach the daylight out of you. My point is, if you got Christ, love to share him. Love to share it. And when the need arises, help the person who's fallen down. That's all I'm going to say. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Lord, I'm thanking you for Eutychus. One thing he learned, I will not sit in a window anymore. And Lord, if there's someone in our audience today, if there's someone in the listening range that are sitting in a window in a dangerous place, help them to get out of that window. Help them to come down and receive the true message of your grace, that you love them and you want them in the safest place of all, and that's being safe in the arms of Jesus. Bless them to do that. We humbly pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm going to extend the invitation. I know this is the craziest. That's a crazy sermon, wasn't it? Did y'all like that? It's pretty good, wasn't it? If God hadn't showed me, I wouldn't have seen it. But now's the time to do something about it. So we're good, ready to go out of here. And we're going to hear a couple of songs. But I want to give the invitation. I'm going to give the invitation in case there's someone who's never accepted God's grace. You've never allowed Jesus to embrace you and raise you into life. If that's your case, we invite you to come. The doors of church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. If there's anyone that's lost, anyone that desires to be a part of our church family, we invite you to come. Is there one? If you're online, you can't come in here, but you can certainly write to us, crossroadbc.com, and we'll try to get back to you and let you know that God loves you and that God cares. So anyone? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to ask the Johnsons to come back, and as we prepare to go out today, Brother Joe is going to bless us at the end of the service, going to ask the blessing over the offering as we give unto the Lord, as we honor him with our gifts. But we're going to ask the Johnsons to give us a couple of songs. Give them a hand as they come.
Some things can be everybody's testimony. That's what he's done for me. I don't know what he did for you. I see you're alive, so I know he did that. Every day is a victorious day if you can open your eyes and wiggle your fingers when you wake up and watch your foot move and swing yourself to the side of the bed and stand up.
Amen.
Sitting here thinking about your goodness to me. One day I was blind, Lord, but now I see. Lord, I know I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything to earn it, but you gave it to me. It was early one Sunday morning when you set my soul free. Oh Lord, you didn't have to raise me,
but you did it.
Oh, you didn't have to save me,
but you did it.
Lord, you didn't have to bless me,
but you did it.
God, you kept me,
you did it.
Ooh, I'm just sitting here thinking to me. One day I was lost, but you came and found me. Lord, I know I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything to earn it, but you gave it to me. It was early one Sunday morning, yeah, yeah, when you set my soul free, oh Lord. And you didn't have to raise me,
but you did it.
Lord, you didn't have to save me,
but you did it.
You didn't have to bless me,
but you did it.
You never, you always kept me,
you did it.
Lord, you didn't have to raise me,
but you did it.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't have to save me, have to bless me,
but you did it.
All these years you kept me,
you did it.
Let's tell y'all, oh, he did it,
you did it.
He did it, oh, he did it,
you did it.
I don't know about nobody else in here, but God did it,
you did it.
Can I get about five people that can say, God did it?
God did it.
God did it.
God did it.
Oh, yes, he did. I don't know, but he woke me up out of this moment. Started me on my way. God, you did it.
You did it.
One more time, y'all. I'm just sitting here thinking.
Go ahead.
About your goodness to me. One day I was lost, but you loved me.
love came and found me. Lord, I know I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything to earn it, but you gave it to me.
Sounds like this.
I know I didn't live right, but you kept me through the night. Lord, you did it for me. Early one Sunday morning, I walked down the aisle, gave my life back to Christ. But he didn't have to raise me.
But you did it.
You didn't have to save me.
But you did it.
God didn't even have to bless me.
But you did it.
Can somebody say I know it was him that kept me?
You did it.
Can I get real, real, real with y'all? He did it. Even when you didn't deserve it, he still did it.
You did it.
You know you went the wrong way in life, but he still did it.
You did it.
Hell, fell asleep sometime in church, but
you
he still
did it.
He did it for you, he can do it for you too.
You did it.
He did it for you, and he can do it for you too.
You did it.
Think if you were the one that fell out that window.
You
metaphor. You were the one that wasn't paying attention all the time, and he still did it.
You did it.
You were the one that didn't do right, but he still did it.
You did it.
You were the one with one foot in the world, but he still did it.
Yeah. You did it.
Somebody had to pick you up when you were falling down.
You did it.
It won't nothing but God's grace and mercy for him that did it.
You did it.
Put it on your mind and say, God, you did it.
You did it.
Oh.
For blessing us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the message. Thank you, O God, for allowing us the privilege, Father, to come together and to honor and to praise you. Thank you for the offering, dear God, that we're about to receive. We pray and ask that you continue to bless it, so that we can reach out to many, O God, not only in this community, but throughout the world, and to tell them that Jesus loves them. We ask your blessings upon it. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Church, say amen.